This is the Section 341 meeting of the creditors in the case of Premier Exhibitions Incorporated, case number 16-2232, filed in the Middle District of Florida Jacksonville Division. Today is August 10th, 2016. It is 12 p.m. My name is Scott Baumkamp. I'm the trial attorney with the U.S. Trustee, which is a component of the Justice Department, and I will preside over the meeting. Could the parties who are present at the meeting please enter an appearance and please get close to the recording device as you enter your appearance.
Joining Daniel, the meeting.
Daniel Blanks on behalf of the debtors.
Peter Gerfinger joining.
Jerome Henschel on behalf of the debtors.
Would other parties like to make an appearance at the creditors meeting?
Alexandria Hill on behalf of the landlord, 417 Fifth Avenue.
Ezra Jones on behalf of Dalian Hoffman Biotechnique and Hongjin Sui.
Armando Notalillo on behalf of Mike.
Joining the meeting.
Giovanni Wong on behalf of Packridge Capital Partners.
Chris Broussard on behalf of the Armada Group GP Inc.
All right, and could the telephone attendees please make an appearance?
Brian Wanger from Kalia Legal, counsel to debtors.
Ari Newman of Greenberg Traurig on behalf of secured creditors and equity holders, Lan Feng, Xi Zhang, and Heiping Zhu.
Okay, I think we have everyone. All right, so we'll proceed with the meeting. At this time, I will put the debtor's representative under oath. So Mr. Jerome Henschel, could you please raise your right hand? In connection with the testimony that you give here today, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Now, Mr. Henschel, just as a preliminary matter, when did you become the CFO of the debtor?
July 22nd, 2016.
Prior to your appointment as CFO, were you involved in the debtor's business activities?
I was on the board of directors as chair of the audit committee. I believe it was the 17th of June I was elected to the board.
Okay. And what was the procedure for your election? How did that occur?
We had a board meeting on July 22nd. I abstained from the meeting during that portion of the meeting, and the remaining directors appointed me as chief financial officer.
Okay. So my understanding is that you did not personally sign the schedules. Those were signed by Michael Little. Is that true?
That is correct.
Okay. Have you personally read and reviewed the schedules?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And are you personally satisfied as to their accuracy?
There were several items which could be determined that maybe they were omitted, but a lot of them were based on whether legally there was a liability or not.
Okay. Could you just recite the items that you think may have been omitted from the schedules?
The largest item was for generally accepted accounting principles, when we set up a lease, we also set up a liability for the lease for certain components of it. In this case, there were some tenant improvements which we capitalized as fixed assets, and we set off the corresponding long-term lease obligation related to that component of the lease. The amount is over $5 million.
Is this the lease on Fifth Avenue in New York City?
Correct.
Okay, and does this... Does what you just discussed constitute an asset or a liability of the debtor?
Both.
Okay. Okay. How should it be disclosed on the schedules, in your opinion?
Well, at the date that we entered into Chapter 11, it wasn't a liability in the true sense of the lease only indicated we have to pay these monthly lease payments, and we did disclose the arrears in the monthly lease payments. The lease itself, there was a component that if the lease was terminated, there might be an amount that would be owing because of the termination of the lease.
Like a liquidated damages provision in the lease?
I believe that's the word for it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But from an accounting perspective, we still, as accountants, do these weird entries for reporting purposes. We have to set up a liability because the capital asset, the renovations at that particular premise, were, for accounting reporting purposes, considered an asset. So.
Okay.
Mr. Bonkin, just maybe this will help clarify that a little bit. Is it, as of the petition date, the debtors were only in default 1 month of rent with mm-hmm. respect to that lease, but under GAAP, that it's the CFO's position that the dollar amount that should be booked for that liability should be the entire lease. But the landlord obviously had notice of this. They have not filed a proof of claim to date, but they're certainly here and have notice of this. And when they file their proof of claim, we would look at the exact liability with respect to that particular claim.
Sure, and there are certainly bankruptcy relevant proof of claim rules for landlords. Okay, what else did you what else did you think needed to be corrected?
The schedule, I think it's B or C, showed an amount owing to Fox regarding an Ice Age exhibition contract.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that shouldn't have been on the schedule. It's $1,250,000. Again, it was one of these cutoff things. We didn't, at the time of the petition, we weren't sure whether it should be included or not, so we included it just to be safe. But that particular claim or negotiations, it was settled in June. So
okay.
We no longer had the...
Prior to the filing?
Yes.
Okay.
Just prior. Yeah.
Okay. Was it payment made to Fox on account of that settlement negotiation?
Correct.
How much was paid to Fox on account of that settlement
the
negotiation?
Final payment was $50,000.
Okay. So it sounds like that item should be removed from Schedule B or C and transferred to the applicable question in the Statement of Financial Affairs as to pre-petition transfers.
It does show up on the schedule of checks written within the last...
Okay, so it is there.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other items that that you believe to be incomplete or incorrect?
There were just what we call reserves or accruals for potential lawsuits or potential tax liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't firmed up, meaning it was just an accountant's estimate.
Okay.
There was a sale. In fact, one of them's under litigation, I believe, a sales tax audit in New York. The amount that is set up as liable in the accrual schedule, it's not on the schedules you have, is about $352,000.
Okay.
And then there's another unknown tax liability, and in the rules of conservatism with reporting, we set up an amount of $234,000 for another potential tax liability.
So basically, you'll quickly discover that I'm not an accountant, but essentially the tax period hadn't ended, and so you don't know what those liabilities are.
This was from a prior tax period.
Okay.
No, you're correct there, and right. We haven't yet filed the December 31st, 2015 corporate tax returns. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Obviously, it's not a liability, but we have unearned revenue, meaning we've taken in deposits from customers and we haven't delivered the goods yet. So, from a generally accepted accounting principle point of view, it's a liability. Services have to be performed.
But this is something that went on continuously pre-petition and post-petition. Okay. All right. So, based on what you've told me, just request that you correct the schedules with regard to the Fox liability. With regard to the lease issue, please make any changes you believe are appropriate. And please schedule any tax liabilities that you think should have been scheduled as it would be appropriate. In broad strokes, why did the debtor file bankruptcy?
The debtor, meaning Premier Exhibitions and its subsidiaries in the U.S., were losing money. The revenues were deficient in regards to the expenses. One of the main reasons for that was they had entered into a lease in New York City where they had spent substantial amounts of money to prepare an exhibition called Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome in regards to attendance and sales was very deficient. It did not even come close to breaking even, even on paying the rent.
Okay, so essentially it was a cash flow issue. Speaking of the debtors as a group, to what extent was the bankruptcy filing motivated by the debtors' desire to sell the French artifact collection of the RMS Titanic?
I think that was not even thought of at the time. It was something that after we filed, what is a solution?
And okay.
We thought it was an opportunity at that time to perhaps have a chance to sell some of the artifacts.
Okay. All right, and is the debtor incorporated in Florida?
Premier Exhibitions, Inc. is incorporated in Florida, correct.
Okay. And how long has the debtor been incorporated?
Since 2006, I believe. That's just from, I could be incorrect there. That number seems to pop into my head.
Mr. Bonkamp, mm-hmm. Purely for the purpose of convenience, here's a chart of the company and subsidiaries, mm-hmm. just for your reference, if that's helpful.
Yeah, sure. Does Mr. Little remain with the company?
No, Mr. Little's no longer with the company.
Okay. What are the various lines of business of the debtor? What are the what does the debtor do? I gather that it has exhibits. Exhibitions, but what are the various exhibitions that the debtor has? Yeah.
Well, one of our most popular exhibitions is Titanic. We have 8 exhibitions. 6 are touring, meaning we can move them around to different locations.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them are permanent at this point, Las Vegas and Orlando. We have an exhibition called Bodies Revealed. 2 of them are touring, and 2 of them are permanent in Las Vegas and Atlanta. And we have an exhibition called Discovery of King Tut. They aren't our assets. We license them and rent them from another party, but we mm-hmm. are the manager, and we move them around to different museums in the United States.
So Discovery of King Tut is a traveling exhibit. Bodies right. Revealed, is that fixed at the Luxor?
Bodies Revealed is fixed at the Luxor and in the Atlanta station in Atlanta.
Okay, so that's 2 separate installations of plasticized human bodies.
Correct.
Okay. And so Discovery of King Tut is a traveling exhibit. What other exhibits does the debtor have?
We have an exhibit of what we call dinosaurs. They're animatronic dinosaurs.
Okay.
There's 2 different types of shows. One's Dinosaurs Alive, the other's Dinosaurs on Earth. The unearthed one also includes a collection of dinosaur fossils and is more, perhaps more educational. We have Extreme Dinosaurs. Again, it's with the animatronic dinosaurs.
So and Alive, Unearthed, and Extreme are all separate exhibitions?
Correct.
Okay.
Then we have Extreme Bugs.
Okay.
And then in Australia, we have one. It's a permanent one. It's called Creatures of the Deep. It's a prehistoric, past, and present creatures from the deep, from the ocean.
Okay. All right. So you've got the two bodies exhibitions, one at Atlanta Station, one at the Luxor, a traveling exhibit called The Discovery of King Tut, three dinosaur exhibits, Alived, Unearthed, and Extreme, Extreme Bugs, and Creatures of the Deep.
Yeah, the dinosaurs, they're moving. Some are semi-permanent or permanent, but we also have moving exhibitions.
Okay. And of those items, with regard to these exhibitions, what does the debtor own? Purports to own the bodies, correct?
Yes. We have our own sets. We have two sets.
Okay.
Of the bodies, plasticized bodies, bodies revealed, we call them.
Okay. All right. And you lease the King Tut artifacts?
Correct. We have a joint venture.
Joint venture. Okay. So you share the profits from the exhibition.
Correct.
And you own the animatronic dinosaurs?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
About 700 of them.
Do you own the extreme bugs?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And the
Creatures of the Deep?
Creatures of the Deep. Is that?
Yes, we own those.
Okay. Are they animals? And
underwater. I haven't seen it. It's in Australia.
They're in, like, pressurized aquariums, or?
Truthfully, I don't know.
Okay.
If Mr. Dalping will invite me to Australia.
All right. And does the debtor own the Saturday Night Live memorabilia?
Correct. We have that in the warehouse right now.
Okay.
One second.
All right. Sorry. I'd like to make a correction.
Sure.
In regards to the bodies revealed, I think we're under a licensing agreement for those. We don't actually own them.
Okay.
Those two sets.
Okay. Now, that's bodies revealed. It's not bodies. The exhibition is that a competitor's exhibit or? But your exhibit is bodies revealed.
Yes, I was in my director's handbook. It's called Bodies Revealed.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm new to the company. I don't know what it was called previously.
Okay. Now, just looking through inventory, I see inventory with regard to pirates. Do you have a pirates exhibit?
We did. That exhibit has now been returned.
Okay. Okay, so...
The owner.
Yeah. The owners of the pirate artifacts?
Correct.
What about Pompeii?
Pompeii was a licensed exhibit as well. At this point, we don't run it, but we've returned the artifacts.
Okay.
We're just... Yeah.
So, when we talk about particular artifacts, say the SNL artifacts. Of that collection, what would you say the most valuable artifact is?
In the SNL?
Sure.
Probably the digital media that was prepared as part of it, and obviously the physical replica of the stage and that type of thing. I don't know. I did not see the exhibition when it was
okay.
Done.
And where are those assets maintained?
They're in a warehouse in New Jersey.
Okay. Is everything in the warehouse in New Jersey?
To the best of my knowledge.
Including the Titanic artifacts?
No, those artifacts are in the exhibitions that are either touring or permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the artifacts are in the Bank of America in a vault.
Okay.
And then we have several warehouses. When they're not being used, they're stored in warehouses and maintained.
Okay. Okay. So, I'm going to make a request with regard to the assets owned by this debtor. In my opinion, there is insufficient specificity as to the particular collectibles and artifacts owned by the debtor, and I would request that an addendum to the Schedule B be attached setting forth in general terms what those artifacts are and where they are.
They're actually owned by not Premier Exhibitions, they're owned by RMST Titanic.
So it was discussed that the debtor owns, for example, SNL memorabilia.
I'm not sure if it's actually legally owned by Premier Exhibitions or a subsidiary called Premier Exhibition Management. It's in the books of Premier Exhibition Management. I can tell you where it's booked. So
okay. Well, I'll leave it to you in the first instance to determine what the debtor is. But
well, at this point, the debtor, the one where Premier Exhibitions is a parent company that owns the shares of these various subsidiaries.
Right.
The only asset it has is a guaranteed investment certificate for $800,000 and a little change, which was provided to the Bank of America as security for a letter of credit for the landlord. Other than the shares in the subsidiaries, that's the only asset that this company has, although it's contingently liable to many different contracts, because normally this is the actual company that is listed on the...
Okay, well, it always creates a bit of a headache when you have, you know, multiple affiliate debtors who work together as an enterprise.
Yeah, it's sort of a group.
And in this case, I would request that with regard to whoever owns particular merchandise, whether it's artifacts, collectibles, curiosities, whatever you want to call them, that the affiliate that is the owner of those artifacts, collectibles, or curiosities file an addendum to their Schedule B to reveal, at least in general terms, what the debtor in fact owns. I think that the level of detail here is insufficient.
We did the summary sheet, which you may be looking at. Just for the general information about insurance, the salaries of the officers. Behind that, we did the schedules for each entity separately. But we used the Premier Exhibition Management as the lead sheet on there, just because it was all combined, basically. I know it's confusing.
Okay. All right. Could you tell me a little bit about the intercompany transfer between Premier Exhibitions Incorporated and Dinosaurs Unearthed?
At this point, there haven't been any intercompany transactions between Dinosaurs Unearthed and Premier Exhibition.
Okay, I'm just looking at the Statement of Financial Affairs, and I'll just let you tell me what that item is.
That is a transfer, correct? Sorry. I thought those transfers went right to Dinosaurs Unearthed parent, which is DynaKing Tech. I see here it did go into Dinosaurs Unearthed, and then it was probably used to pay some of the setup fees for the dinosaur setups in the U.S. It wasn't done by invoice. We just move money up there or down there, I guess, in the case.
Okay.
The money would have actually went out of the Premier Exhibition Management, because that's where all the banking's done. There's really no operating checking account of Premier Exhibitions.
Okay.
Just to explain that Dinosaurs Unearthed Corp., it does the dinosaur exhibitions in the United States.
Okay. And there were, looks like there were two transfers, one on March 15th and one on the 17th. What did those pertain to again?
Well, Dinosaurs on Earth has to pay crews to set up, assemble these exhibitions of dinosaurs.
Okay.
So we're just funding...
Funding that through the affiliate group bank account.
Correct.
With Premier, that's held by Premier Management. Okay. Has this debtor done business with one of Lorne Michaels' companies?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Okay.
Who that is.
So does the debtor owe any money to people who are insiders of the debtor, or officers of the debtor, or former officers of the debtor?
No.
What is Mr. Sam Weiser's relationship to the debtor?
Mr. Weiser was a past executive officer, CEO.
Okay, and he is had a severance agreement with the debtor, is that correct? Or?
Yes, it was a severance. I believe there was some fee that was payable because he had arranged financing with the Pentwater Group.
Okay. And he's no longer in the control group of the debtor, no longer an officer of the debtor?
That's correct.
But he does hold equity in the debtor?
Yes, he does, yeah.
Okay. And what is the nature of the debt with Dalian Hoffman Biotechnique Company? Or the nature of the litigation with Dalian Hoffman Biotechnique?
There is litigation for unpaid licensing fees.
Okay, so it's a debt in the broad bankruptcy sense of a possible debt of the debtor. And it pertains to licensing fees for the exhibition of plasticized human corpses?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. This time, I'll probably circle back with additional questions, but I'd like to open it up to the attendees at the meeting. Do any attendees have questions for the debtor? Perhaps we could reserve this chair here for the questioning creditor.
And just to be clear, this is specifically with respect to the debtor Premier Exhibitions Inc. Is that correct or no?
Well, it's difficult because you have a situation here where you have affiliates that are really operating to as an integrated business. So to the extent that your question pertains to the affiliate group or Premier Exhibitions Inc., please just be specific.
Mr. Henshaw, my name is Ezra Jones. I represent Dalian Hoffman Biotechnique and Dr. Sweet. So I understand that you've only been associated with the company for 19 days?
Since July. Well, no, I was a director around June 17th.
Okay. Were you director before the filing of the bankruptcy?
No.
Okay. And you said Mike Little was no longer with the company. Was he fired?
He was terminated.
Is there anybody in management with the company, still with the company, that was with the company prior to the filing?
Yes.
Who?
David Carr is the Senior Vice President.
Do you think you're the best equipped person to be here and testify about these matters with the debtor, given your limited time with the debtor?
Yes, I am.
You think you are?
Yeah.
Okay. You had mentioned earlier that the company was doing business as Bodies Revealed in Las Vegas and in Atlanta. My information is that the company is still doing business in Las Vegas as Bodies the Exhibition. Is that correct?
I haven't been to Las Vegas. I haven't seen the exhibition there.
Do you know for a fact if they're doing business as Bodies Revealed or as Bodies the Exhibition in Las Vegas?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you know what the difference is?
I read the statement of claims, so I do have a little bit of an understanding.
Do you know that the company is still using my client's images and pictures for their advertising in Las Vegas?
No, I haven't seen any tear sheets. I'm not aware of whether they're using it or not.
Okay. In the initial filing, the company listed in the 20 largest creditors that my client was owed approximately $360,000. In the filing, the amended filing, that number is $241,500. Do you know where either one of those numbers come from?
No, I don't have the schedule, but I don't have it memorized. I could find out, though.
But your understanding is that Dahlia Hoffman is owed for balances due on two lease agreements for their human body specimens?
I thought it was a licensing-type agreement. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think for our purposes whether it's a license or a lease really matters, but they had contracts that ended in February of 2016, and there were balances owed on those two contracts. Would that be a fair statement?
I haven't read the contract. I've only read the litigation.
Okay, so you read the complaint that was filed in Fulton County?
I skimmed it. I can't read every lawsuit going on. So.
All right. The amount, the principal amount claimed on the what we call the 2006A contract, which was the Las Vegas contract, the principal amount that was due and owing on that one was $190,000. Do you have any knowledge or information about whether Premier disputes that balance?
I'm afraid that's a litigation matter. I'm not. Are you examining for this litigation?
Well, no. Look, I understand you to be the chief financial officer, correct?
That's correct.
And Premier would have statements that would show what they believe to be their liabilities to their creditors, correct? They would have that. Correct?
It was filed with the trustee and banker.
Well, I saw that you put us down for $241,500. Do you know what the basis of that number is?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, so you don't know, as you said here, whether it's $241,500 or $360,000 or some other number that we might claim, correct?
Your claim, I believe, was for around $300,000,
right.
And I'm not sure where that is in the litigation process.
But about $300,000.
That was what your claim was.
Right.
Yes, I'm not saying that's what we owe you.
Okay. Well, do you have any information or knowledge about whether or not Premier would have any defenses to those claims?
I'm sorry, that's... We hire lawyers to do that. Attorneys, sorry, I'm a Canadian thing.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just asking you as you sit here today, do you have any knowledge from what you've learned in the 20 or so days that you've been with the company that whether or not Premier has any defenses to those claims?
I have not had the chance yet to sit down with our attorneys and discuss that.
Okay. I think that's all I have, Mr. Trustee. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other parties in interest who wish to question the representative of the debtor?
Yes. Hello, I'm Alex Hill. I represent the landlord for 17 Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions. The first, did you have any affiliation with the debtor prior to June 22nd when you became a director?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You had talked about how you became CFO. How did you get to become a director?
At one point, my nephew worked for the company.
Okay.
He was a lawyer. And my brother's a lawyer in Vancouver. And was an acquaintance with our chief executive officer. So an introduction was made, and I seemed my qualifications fit the bill.
And we have talked with Mr. Blanks at length about this lease issue and how that TI has been being perceived. And to be honest, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it a little bit. So could you just go over one more time? You had said that, in your opinion, the TI was not a liability at the time of filing. Is that correct? Did I understand you correctly?
The TI is part of the lease, mm-hmm. So it's not a separate legal loan. I didn't see a promissory note or anything to that effect. Okay. So
it's your opinion, it's not.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Any other creditors or parties in interest have questions for them?
Hello. Chris Broussard on behalf of the Armada Group GP Inc. Two quick questions for you. I suspect this might be answered possibly by that corporate structure you have there. But the first question is, does Premier Exhibitions Inc. hold a 100% interest in all ownership interest in all of the debtor companies?
No.
How does that break down?
The main operating company, I think in 2012, we created this company to manage exhibitions. It is 90% owned by Premier Exhibitions.
Is that the only exception?
Yes.
All right, and my last question, does Premier Exhibitions, Inc. have any sort of professional liability coverage? And we can take this one by one, I guess first for the board.
Yes, we have board and officers insurance. It matures in November. And the original, it's around $25 million in liability coverage.
And
with all the add-ons. AIG was the first policy, and then we added on various bulges from three or four different policy insurers.
And for officers?
That's a combined
and
policy.
And then for the company, anything else?
Well, lots of insurance.
Sure.
There's insurance for the fine arts policy for the our assets, the Titanic. There's a theatrical policy, which is for the exhibitions themselves. We have general insurance liability policies, automobile policies. We have a terrorist policy. And we have everything. So
okay.
We're probably overinsured.
Yeah, but I need, you know, through AIG.
Okay. Does anyone else want to ask the debtor questions? All right, then, I'll pick up where I left off. Scott Bonham, Camp for the U.S. Trustee. So with regard to the debts, the schedules listed on Schedule E and F, every single one of those debts is listed as contingent and unliquidated and disputed. Why is that?
I see that.
Sure. So you see the black boxes associated with each debt? Is it true that each and every one of those is contingent and unliquidated and disputed?
No.
Okay.
That's just an error in filing.
Okay. All right. It could be a consequential error in filing because marking those boxes means that the creditor is not deemed to have a claim in the case unless it files a claim in the case. And for that reason, I'd request that you look at each and every one of those debts and make a appropriate amendment as to whether it is unliquidated and disputed and contingent or not.
Are we talking about the same box as it says, is the claim subject to offset?
No.
We understand. I'll speak with that.
Okay, sure. So, and just briefly for your benefit. So, when you say that, for example, that your phone bill is unliquidated, it means that you don't know what the amount of your phone bill actually is, and it's listed as $19.16, which indicates that is an error, because it appears to have been liquidated at that exact amount. So these do appear to be an error, and I would request that you amend Schedule ENF for that issue.
My apologies. I missed that.
Well, I initially did too. As to the monthly operating reports that you're filing in the case, have you personally, did you personally prepare the monthly operating reports that have been filed?
No, I reviewed them.
Okay. Okay.
We had a team of people from Canadian office and the U.S. accounting staff pulled them together.
Okay. And our analyst, Anna Rodriguez, has some issues with those reports. Have you been in communication with her about that?
Just the pre-debtor interview.
All right. All right. Okay. Will you continue to work with our office to...
Sure. We will. If we have to redo them, we will.
All right.
It was complicated, and because she... Initially, our consultant said we had to use every line on the bank statement. We couldn't use what was in her books as receipts and disbursements.
Okay.
Anna has agreed that, no, we can use the accrual basis, and just like we recorded in our books, so we don't have two sets of books going, one for the trustee and one for normal business.
Okay. Well, I request that you work with our accountant on that matter.
Yeah. Not a problem.
And just on that point, we did have a conversation with her on Monday, and I believe that some of the issues that she may have initially or preliminarily had, I believe that we have addressed many of those concerns, if not all of them. But just to be very clear, we'll continue to work with her and address any issues she may have.
Okay. At this time, so the... you're aware that the debtor early in the case filed what purported to be a motion to sell the French collection of the Titanic assets. There was an order entered basically directing the debtor to proceed by adversary proceeding in basically a quiet title action with regard to those assets. At this time, does the debtor intend to file such an adversary proceeding?
Yes, we are.
Are you aware of the timing for that at all?
We just investigated what the cost in order to serve the documents on a foreign country, the Republic of France, so it will be very shortly.
Okay. And just to clarify a bit of your earlier testimony, so I think, you know, I asked when you became the CFO, and that was on June 22nd?
July 22nd.
And I asked, prior to becoming the CFO, what your role with the business was, and you were on the board of directors, correct?
Right.
And when did you join the board of directors?
I think it was June 17th. It was after the...
Okay, so June 17th, you joined the board of directors. July 22nd, you become the CFO.
Correct.
And prior to June 17th, you did not have an affiliation with the...
Not at all.
Debtor other than your nephew knew.
I haven't seen our CEO... May have met him 30 years before that. I didn't know him.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else have questions for the representative of the debtor? Okay, not hearing a request.
Generally, or we're talking just from here, or we're on Japan.
Well, you know, these are integrated businesses. I mean, we'll call Titanic separately, and you can ask in that case. But certainly, there's overlap between the business and the affiliates. So,
questions. Well, Chris Broussard again, my group GP Inc. Do you know who Sam Weiser is?
He was a former CEO.
Yeah. So is he I think you addressed he's not currently employed by Premier, correct?
That's correct.
How long was he previously employed by Premier?
I know at one point he had left and then he was called back, or he came back, so he was gone and back, but truthfully I don't know the exact years and dates.
Was he ever employed by any of the other debtor entities?
I'm not. His wages probably would have been paid out of Premier Exhibition Management, at least at the 2012 when we set up that company.
But any formal employment agreements or anything of that nature that you're aware of?
I'm sure he would have had an employment agreement. We do that with all our executive officers. So.
Did Mr. Weiser have any involvement with any of the other subsidiaries? Hands-on, day-to-day operations, financial management, anything?
As an integrated group, he probably would have had some involvement.
Okay.
Not recently, though. I mean, he's certainly not someone we consult with now.
Was he, would you say he was acting on behalf of those entities and within the scope of his employment?
I'm afraid I don't know. I wasn't
okay.
there. Yeah.
All right. And going back to the question earlier, you said Premier Management was 90% owned. Who owns the other 10%?
AEG Alive LLP.
Sorry if that's in the schedule, sorry. I'm just trying to
get
my mind around all
this. It just says AEG. Yeah.
All right. I have some other questions, but that's Titanic stuff, so I'll wait until we move into that. If you're okay with that.
That's fine. Just briefly, I did have just a couple more questions. So there are several creditors listed here as having secured debts. Haiping Zhu being one of them. Who is that in relation to the debtor?
The three secured creditors there were part of an investment group. When last November 1st there was a reorganization, a merger,
mm-hmm.
at that point Premier acquired the shares of a numbered company in BC that was the holding company for Dynaking Tech, which was the owner. It had a subsidiary called Dinosaurs under.
Mm-hmm.
So these parties that are now secured with this $3 million debt, they provided $13.5 million loan in the middle of mid-year 2015. And then on November 1st, when the merger was completed, they converted the $13,500,000 into common shares. So, and then further funds were required, and they agreed and loaned the company another $3 million after that point. It wasn't all the original creditors from the 13.5; it was just a group of them continued to support the company.
All right, and what does their secured claim actually, what do they have a lien on?
Everything except the artifacts directly. Is that correct?
Yeah. And when you say the artifacts directly, mean do they have a lien on the artifacts indirectly?
Yeah. Only through the fact that they have a lien on Premier Exhibition, which owns the shares of RMS Titanic, so in effect they have a lien on the shares.
Okay. And are they are they on the board or hold equity in the debtor?
No, they're equity shareholders because they converted their $13.5 million.
Okay, they have equity, but are they in the control group of the debtor? They
are. Yeah, they're part of a voting agreement where our CEO and them as a group are allowed 4 out of the 7 seats on the board. It was part of the terms of the merger.
Okay. So, so the CEO, who is the CEO?
Mr. Dao Ping.
Mr. Oh. Dao Ping has a seat on the board, and then Haiping Zhu, Zi Zhang, apologize if I'm doing violence to these names, and Lang Feng are all on the board of directors as well.
No, they're not.
No, okay. Then who is? So if they're not, do they designate someone who is, or?
I haven't read the actual agreement, but no, they don't. They agreed to, as a voting group, vote together.
Okay.
Dalping is their representative, I guess you can say. Sorry, Mr. Dalping Bao is their representative.
So essentially, Dalping Bao controls effectively 4 seats on a 7-seat board.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So these folks with the secured claim are insiders of the debtor?
Yes, they're friendly.
Okay.
They've allowed us to use the collateral cash.
Okay. And they obtained their claim in November of 2015?
No, after the merger date, that's when the original $13,500,000 was converted to common shares.
Okay.
After that point, as I recall reading things, I wasn't there at the time,
mm-hmm.
more funds were required, and they advanced a further $3 million.
And this was late 2015, early 2016, or?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
It would be early 2016, probably. I know the funds came in lumps. They didn't all come in as one.
Mr. Bonkamp, just to be clear about his testament, is that he's not a bankruptcy lawyer, and so he used the word insider, and so I believe his testimony is not the same as to say that the parties would be insiders as that term is defined in the bankruptcy code.
Okay. Well, they control seats on the debtor's board. All right. I don't remember the precise text of the bankruptcy code, but they do control seats on the debtor's board. Is that correct?
Through a voting agreement.
Through a voting agreement with the debtor's CEO. Okay. All right. I don't believe I have anything further with regard to this debtor. So with regard to amendments, I'm requesting that to the extent that it's appropriate, correct the 3 issues that you raised with me as possibly omitted items. That being the tax liabilities, the debt to Fox, and the issues related to the lease. So it sounds like since the debtors operate as a group, you'd have to check on who exactly owns what. But to the extent that this debtor owns artifacts, collectibles, antiques, curiosities, things of value, I'd request that those be that an addendum to Schedule B be filed to identify those, and then perhaps most importantly for the administration of the case, Schedule E and F need to be amended to correctly reflect the contingent versus non-contingent, liquidated versus unliquidated, disputed versus non-disputed nature of each of the claims. And with that, I don't have anything further today. My question for the individuals who are here, does anyone believe that this meeting should be continued for any reason? And I would consider such a request just because of Mr. Henshaw's recent association with the debtor and also because there's the potential of future committees in this case that haven't yet been appointed. Is there any such request from the folks in the at the 341 meeting?
Mr. Bonkamp, I would make that request because I think there have got to be people with more information or knowledge about this debtor than this gentleman. So I would make the request that the meeting either be continued or that there be a subsequent 341 meeting. Especially if committees are
going to be appointed. All right. Based on that request, this meeting will be continued at this time, and we'll look for a date probably about a month out that I'll work with the parties on setting. And with that, this 341 meeting of the creditors is continued.
Thank you.